You're listening to the Whole Hog Sports Podcast. And now, here's your host, Matt Jones.
On today's show, Rini Ngolia, who was with ESPN and called Memphis game at Troy last week, will join us to talk about the Tigers as Arkansas gets ready to go over to Memphis and play the game this week. Also, Christina Long will be in studio. We'll talk Razorback football. But first, a word from Kendall King.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
Arkansas plays Memphis on Saturday at 11 a.m. Game's going to be on ABC. The Tigers beat Troy last week 28-7 to improve to 3-0. And we're joined now by Rini Ngolia. He is an ESPN analyst, was on the call of that game last week at Troy. Rini, appreciate you being with us. What stood out to you about Memphis last week?
Matt, first of all, thanks for having me. They have a culture of winning at Memphis. 11 straight seasons, right? They've been to a bowl game. Ryan Silverfield, the head coach, he's in his sixth year, but he's been there 10 years. But the interesting thing is 77 new players on that roster. So you're bringing in a bunch of new players and you're trying to fit them into your culture at Memphis. And I will tell you this, so far early on, they've done a nice job. Very athletic. Jordan Hankins, the defensive coordinator, they run a 3-3-5, very aggressive. They're known for TFLs, tackles for a loss. They'll get after you. Their corners are very aggressive. But it's one of those defenses with the athletes that Arkansas has, I think, you can get some big plays on them if you're Arkansas, but an aggressive defense, you're going to get after. And then offense, those are familiar with Memphis. Seth Hennigan was a quarterback there. Felt like for 8 years, the most prolific passer in Memphis history. He's gone. They bring in Brendan Lewis from Nevada from the transfer portal. He's a true dual threat. They'll run zone read with him. But really where early on where he's hurt some teams, Matt, is just his scramble ability. Defense is letting him get out of the pocket. He's had some big runs. And so then they got some running backs, a stable of guys they'll run at you. They don't really have the big-name receiver that you're used to in prior years for Memphis, but some guys are stepping up. They have talent on the outside. So, again, a really good team in the group of five that I think will compete in the American and one that they play pretty well at home, especially at that 11 a.m. kickoff.
You know, you mentioned the group of five component. Arkansas played Arkansas State a couple of weeks ago, and I think Memphis is a better team than A-State. Mm-hmm. But what you saw in that game really fast, like right off the bat, was that the athleticism of the SEC team just totally overwhelmed Arkansas State. Do you feel like that could potentially happen in this game? Like, how well does Memphis roster stack up with, even if Arkansas is a lower tier SEC team, an SEC team?
Top to bottom, Arkansas has a better roster, right? You can't sugarcoat that. They should be faster and athletic. But I will say this, Memphis being a top tier group of five team, which has good NIL money, good rep share money. A lot of their transfers, like they got a couple, as I flip my chart around, DeMarco Ward has two pick sixes, came from Florida State. Amarian Cooper, corner, came from Florida State. So they got P4 talent on that roster. Now, they only brought back three starters from last year, two offensive linemen, the defensive end they brought back. William Whitlow is a guy, real great get off from that defensive end spot, was in the portal for 5 days, could have went P4, decided to stay there. So as far as group of five goes, they are very talented. Does Arkansas top to bottom have more talent? Absolutely. But the one thing you got to watch out for, schools like Memphis, I talked about 77 new players, okay? What they did was they go out there and they get starters, good players at programs around the country where those kids really haven't won. They're programs that haven't won. So now they come to Memphis, a winning culture. You get a good player. These kids got a chip on their shoulder. They're ready to win. So there is some talent on there. No doubt Arkansas needs to go in there and win this game, but Memphis is a team, practices early in the morning. I'm not sure when Arkansas practices. That bodes well for you when it's an 11 a.m. kickoff. So early kickoff is not a problem for Memphis, but they do have a lot of talent on that roster. Again, Arkansas should be able to go in there and take care of business, though.
You said Memphis has got 77 new players. Arkansas's got a lot, 60-something.
Welcome to college football, right? Well, the new college football.
My question is for you, like you've been in a locker room in the old days where you bring guys in and you expect them to be there for 4 or 5 years. How difficult do you think it is right now coaching these teams where, I mean, I bet the coaches are still kind of having to glance at their roster and figure out who's who.
I think it's super hard. And I think every coach in the nation, regardless of P4, group of five, they're all navigating it. First of all, you're navigating rev share and NIL, right? So you got to kind of put your GM hat on when you're a coach too with the numbers. But then to your point, everyone always used to talk about culture. Really, what I call it now is that you got to have a transfer portal culture, because there's the days of the majority of your team playing together 2-3 years. It's just gone. So you, as a coaching staff, you have to have the ability to bring a large number of guys in and really acclimate them quickly to what you want to do in 3 to 4 weeks. And some of these programs are having a problem with that. So it's obviously something to watch, but it's new for all to navigate, but especially for the head coaches.
Taylen Green has played at Memphis 2 times before, led Arkansas to a Liberty Bowl win last year. And then when he was at Boise, he played Memphis as a player. Is there something about certain stadiums that make you more comfortable than others? Like, should we be looking back at all to what he did there 2 years ago, you think?
Well, so I'm not a superstitious person as a former player, but there is a comfortability, right, of places. It's kind of like all of us weekend hack golfers, right? There's always that golf course you just feel better at. And so, yeah, I do think like a stadium, a setting, when you've done well there, gives you good vibes, and it can only help. There's no doubt about it. I made this comment on a show the other day. I mean, Taylen Green is a special talent. He really is. And I just think every rep, every game he gets with Bobby Petrino, more familiar with what the defenses are doing. Wow, what a weapon to have. And I mean, just going back to that Ole Miss game, obviously I didn't watch it live, but I went back and watched a good amount of it. That game felt like, okay, whoever had the ball last was going to win it. And you really thought, okay, Arkansas is about to go win this thing 42-41. You turn the ball over, and I mean, and we know you just can't do that in critical moments. And it cost them that ball game. But I think Arkansas has all the pieces, a ton of talent. And then up front as well, right? You should be able to go in to Memphis and win the line of scrimmage. But we'll see. A couple of starters, Chris Adams, Malachi Breland, the left tackle, left guard, respectively, for Memphis. They were starters last year. And then, you add a bunch of pieces. But there's always that communication factor. And I'm sure Arkansas has issues too. When you bring those pieces in, that communication for the offensive line is huge, and sometimes that it can get exploited.
I want to ask you about this Memphis running back, Sutton Smith. He got the Paul Hornung National Player of the Week award this week. That's given to the most versatile player in the country. Second time he's gotten that this year. What was it that he did against Troy that stood out to you?
Well, first of all, I love this kid. So the backstory is he's been at Memphis 4 years, right? Kids that stay in a program 4 years now, they should probably get some type of an award for that, first of all. He's been hurt. He's had a couple injuries, right? Knee injuries. And he fought through it all last year. He stayed committed to his team. He didn't check out, and he rehabbed early on, I think in camp, after talking to the coaches. He still had that knee injury in his head, right? Still thinking about it. When you're thinking about an injury, you're not playing your best football. I think last week versus Troy, he's really flushed it. He's not thinking about it. He's got great speed in the open field. He's 5'9", 5'10". 190. So he's got that good build where he can run behind his pads, good contact balance. But again, in the open field, I saw there's someone out there that does that metric when players get loose in the open field. I think he was 21.3 miles an hour in his long run versus Troy. So he's one of these guys, you let him get loose, SEC or not, you're going to have a problem catching Sutton Smith.
The award when you stayed for 4 years in the old days was a degree, right?
Well, yeah, and I'm happy to say on my wall back here, actually in front of me, I have a degree. So, yes, you're on the money, Matt.
From UMass, I wanted to ask you about this. You were at UMass when John Calipari was the basketball coach there. Any Coach Cal memories?
Yeah, so, I knew Coach Cal. I haven't talked to him in years. Bruiser Flynn as well. Mm. It was a great time. I played 92 to 95, so I was there. When he turned around, I was a huge basketball fan, went to all the games. He got that thing turned around and humming. So, yeah, Coach Cal, I think when you think UMass, especially UMass basketball, you always think John Calipari.
Yeah. Would have been, what, maybe your junior, senior. Arkansas was number one with a reigning national championship team. Came up to Springfield and got spanked by Cal's team.
That's right. UMass beat him. I remember that game, vividly.
Yeah, that's one they remember here. Not not
well,
in good terms.
Now you got Cal, so now he's got to start beating some teams like that for Arkansas.
It's come full circle. Rainey, that's right. We appreciate your time. Thanks for all your insight.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
All right, Rainey Ingolia with ESPN. When we come back, Christina Long will be in studio with me, but first a word from Kendall King.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
Hey, welcome back. I want to tell you about our friends at Bentonville Glass. They've been serving their community since 1971. Committed, professional, versatile. If you're looking for a quality leader in Northwest Arkansas or looking for skilled craftsmanship, look no further than Bentonville Glass for all your glass market needs with the highest quality products. You can come by and see them now at 507 South Main in Bentonville or online at BentonvilleGlass.com. Day three in a row of Christina Long being here. I think
and
this is a record for
Friday.
You.
I'm going to be in your chair on Friday.
You
so
are.
Everybody...
I'm going to be gone. I've got
if you
a high
wanted less of me. I'm very sorry.
You know, I've actually been getting a lot of messages, multiple messages. I don't want to say like I'm getting like 50 messages here, but I've gotten a lot of messages saying that Christina is the best one on your podcast. You need to have her in there more.
That's so nice. I can show you the messages. You should say you're just getting a lot. I hope you've been getting like 50 messages.
Yeah. I mean, it's multiple messages. I don't know
Thank
if
you.
It's
Thanks,
5,
everybody.
10, but I do
nice.
Get a lot of people that say that they enjoy what you say, what you have to say. Hear what you write about. You come up with good ideas. I'm going to be gone Friday. Fayetteville High has got a football game in Texarkana.
It's going to be fun. Are you bringing Jack with you?
I am.
Nice.
Yeah.
He's going to love that.
I'm going to take him with me. We're going to go down. We're going to do the game in Texarkana, stay the night, and be back by like 11 o'clock Saturday morning because he has, I don't know, like three things that day, a basketball camp and a flag football game and a birthday party or something. It's
going to be crazy once your daughters start getting into activities like that. You're like never going to be home.
I'm never home now.
Well, that's true.
Like, I mean.
You're never home. You're never like asleep.
I have gotten better about the sleep.
That's good.
I have made sleep a priority. okay, so I wanted to follow up a little bit on this Hunter Yurecek thing. He obviously made the statements the other day at the Little Rock Touchdown Club. If you haven't heard about it, you can go read what he said on our website at wholehogsports.com. Here's where I think, and I haven't spoken to anybody about this, it's just going back and listening to it, kind of reading what some other people have said. Here's kind of the conclusion that I've come to. I don't think he's saying that Arkansas can't ever compete for a national championship in football. Because if you go back and you read his words, he almost contradicts himself where he says, we're not at a point now where we can win or compete for a national championship. He said, but I think that moving forward, we've set ourselves up to be in a good place to compete in the SEC. And you have this thought, well, how can you be in a good place to compete in the SEC, but not compete for a national championship? Here's where I think he was going with this, because, you know, he prefaced, and some of the videos have been a little bit disingenuous because they take out what he prefaced that statement with, where he's talking about, I think we're in a good position to win a national championship in men's basketball, in a good position with baseball and other sports. I think what he's saying is that in those other sports, they're in a good they're in a good position to win a national championship every year, to be in the conversation for one every year. You know, like basketball, even though they didn't have a good start to the SEC season last year, they end up in the Sweet 16, and they should have played in the Elite Eight if they could have held on to a lead. Baseball, we see what they do. You know, most years they're in the conversation either as a national seed or a team that gets to the Super Regional or the World Series. And so I think that where I've landed on this is that with football, they're in a position where if they catch lightning in a bottle, maybe this year, maybe they can outscore everybody, I don't know, and they go 10-2, which, I mean, I know that doesn't happen at Arkansas very often. But if they could do that, if you go 10-2 in the SEC, you're going to be in the playoff, especially in an expanded playoff. And so, but you don't ever really expect them to do that. And that's where the whole lightning in a bottle thing comes into place. They're just not in a position that I think other teams are in to be able to contend for a national championship year in and year out. It's the old big market, small market analogy that I use all the time. I mean, the Royals, they lost 106 games. The next year, they're in the playoffs, and they got a chance. But you don't expect them to be in the playoffs every year because as soon as, you know, people identify that they've got talent, they're going to say, hey, we want that guy, and we're going to outspend you for him.
I think one of the things that people get frustrated by is when Juracek says things like this, because he has said things like this before, is people feel like they are being told that you should just be, you know, content with where you're at, or that you're just Arkansas, like this is just the way that it is. And I don't think that's necessarily what Juracek is trying to say right here. He's said things like that before that kind of made people feel that way. And I think people get very frustrated with that. The idea that Arkansas just needs to take what they can get and that their ceiling is just pretty low, and they feel like they don't like feeling like the people in, you know, power, you know, who have control over these things. They don't like feeling like they are putting that ceiling on it. And I don't necessarily think that's what he's doing here. He's being, like we talked about yesterday, he's being honest. He's being realistic about the way that it is right now and about the fact that he's right. I mean, they're not a perennial contender. They're not a team that you're looking at every year. It's like, okay, they could be in the mix for the playoff. They haven't been the whole time the playoff has existed. They haven't been in that mix, really.
Never.
So, no. And so I think what I think Arkansas could do, you know, if things go right, and I think a good goal for right now would be to kind of get to where you're, he says competing in the SEC, and we talked about kind of what that means before we came on the microphones about, okay, does that mean like you are competing for an SEC championship? Not necessarily. I mean, in an ideal world, yeah, that's what you want, certainly. But I think a good goal in kind of the short or medium term is, you know, being a team we were talking about, and I know people probably get annoyed that we do this. We keep comparing them to Ole Miss, and we mm-hmm. keep talking about how they should try to be like more like Ole Miss, which I'm sure is kind of annoying to people that don't like Ole Miss. But I think, you know, they've been kind of comparable programs historically or recently, and then they've kind of gone different directions in the last few years. And I think Ole Miss is not a team that you're necessarily looking at as like, okay, put, you know, book it, they're going to be in the SEC championship. But you look at them as, okay, they can beat a lot of these teams on their schedule. You know, they might lose a game they shouldn't. They might win a game they shouldn't. They can play a little bit of spoiler sometimes against some of these teams, you know, against some rivals. Like, I think that's a good place to try to get to. Mm-hmm. And then after that, you know, that gives you something to build on. Maybe eventually you become a team that, you know, I think it's harder and harder to build now the way that college football is kind of stratifying. And, you know, we talked about the rich getting richer and things like that. I think it's harder to do. But I think, you know, if Arkansas could get to that point where that's something they're able to do on a consistent basis, that'd be awesome. And then, you know, then go from there.
I think competitive in the SEC. And again, you have to go back to what did he say before he made that comment? He was talking about the whole third lane, NIL, rev share. There are a lot of people who believe that if this enforcement agency gets off the ground, and I know that there's a clearinghouse already in place, but I don't think the whole apparatus is in place the way people thought it was going to be after the House settlement was approved earlier this year. And by the way, I mean, it was approved in like June and put into effect in July. There's really no way you can have
right.
this whole thing in place right now. But where I wanted to go with that is he was talking about all that. I think he means that if they can get NIL to, and this is his opinion of what NIL should be, I happen to share the same opinion, which is that NIL should be legit NIL. I mean, where a company sees that you are Caleb Williams and you've got some notoriety about yourself, and you're still in college, so you're going to be in a Dr. Pepper commercial. And that's a big, large-scale advertising campaign. But you know what I mean. Where
Wright's
it's like,
Barbecue doing stuff with the offensive line.
There you go.
Awesome. Love to see it.
Yes.
Like, that kind of thing.
Not pooling your money together yeah. and then trying to give everybody, you know,
right.
whatever percent of however much
right.
money. If that can happen, then I think where he's saying they can be competitive is that because they've got $20.5 million to give, and Alabama's got $20.5 million to give, and whoever you know has $20.5 million, they can be competitive, more competitive from a financial standpoint. I think that's
yeah.
what was being said.
And that's where he was talking about those lanes. The third lane that people are occupying is people who are still doing the kind of
yeah.
NIL sort of pay-for-play stuff that people don't like that wasn't the intention of NIL, but because the NCAA didn't set up any kind of enforcement and then there were lawsuits that kind of further handcuffed them in terms of enforcement, they just couldn't do anything about it. And so that's why that's what he's talking about, where when you know there's not going to be a cop to pull you over, there wasn't one, there hasn't been one, and so schools were able to do this, and that's kind of how we ended up where we are.
Hunter's been taking taking too many planes to Little Rock, by the way. He said the speed limit on I-40 was 55.
Somebody on our board was very upset by that. And I was like, honestly, I didn't even think about it. Like, yeah. Didn't even cross my mind.
75 now.
Yeah, yeah.
65 in certain areas.
Sam Pittman was asked about this on the SEC teleconference today. And he basically said, you know, he felt like revenue sharing was going to level the playing field. I can read you what he said, at least partially. He said, when I went to the Little Rock Touchdown Club, I talked about how revenue sharing is going to equal the playing field. Not this year, but it would equal the playing field for all teams. I don't think there's been any question in the NIL era we didn't have the same amount of money or close to the same amount as a lot of teams that we're competing against. Revenue share evens the playing field with everybody. He said it will still affect this recruiting class, some of that NIL stuff, and but after that, revenue sharing should equal us back out. And because he said,
a lot of people, they push their NIL dollars forward before June 30th.
Yes, that's what he said.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so then he said, when it was all equal, we went from 4-20 to 9-4 and top 20. So I don't know. I can't speak for the athletic director, but I'm assuming that's what he meant by it.
I think it would be good for a lot of people if they could get back to the point where basically what they're doing is they're trading what 85 scholarships were 5 years ago now for $20.5 million. And again, the school has to decide how they're going to divvy that up among all of their different sports. But it makes it more equal than, I think, the collective, which was just not very equal at all. And I wonder how much collectives are going to be prevalent moving forward.
Different schools. Some schools have already gotten rid of theirs. Some schools have kind of changed them, brought them more in-house, made them a little bit more of like a marketing agency. Nobody's kind of doing it the same way. It's all a little bit different, but some are still keeping them. Like, I think Alabama's still exists and is still fairly healthy and doing a lot of stuff.
But will it exist in 5 years?
Don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Because I feel like what's going to be where the collectives have been big in the last few years, the ones that actually tried to work on behalf of the students and get their name out to advertisers, I think that's where their agents are going to be, like they're going to fill that void in a lot of cases. And so with collectives, I wonder how many of them are even going to be in business. I think they're either going to shut down or I think they're going to be significantly scaled back in this rev share era. That is a hard term to say, rev share era. I struggle with it every time. You know, I've seen about this with football. There's all this doom and gloom right now. They lost to Ole Miss. It's one game. Defense doesn't look good. Like I think they're going to lose more because their defense isn't good. But Yurchek had his comments the other day. People have freaked out about that. I wouldn't be surprised if they were 4-1 at the end of the month. Like, I think they're going to go to Memphis and win the game this week. I just think they've got better athletes than Memphis. I think it's going to be like the Arkansas State game on a smaller scale. Memphis is more athletic and more talented than Arkansas State was. But I think kind of the same thing that happened.
Arkansas should be able to do more than enough.
They ought to be able to overwhelm them with their athleticism. And then they've got Notre Dame coming in here. Notre Dame is a mess right now. And Notre Dame, I think, is going to get some things figured out this week when it plays Purdue. But, I mean, like, this feels like a very winnable game for Arkansas next week, especially given the fact that they're going to have them on their home field. It ought to be a big crowd. I'm not saying they're going to be 4-1 at the end of the month, but if they are 4-1 at the end of the month, which I think is possible, I think that all of this doom and gloom that people kind of feel this week, there's going to be a lot of optimism going into that bye week in October.
Yeah, I think Notre Dame looks more winnable to me than it did. I still right now think Notre Dame is going to win, but I think, you know, we were just talking before we got on the mics, I think it's going to be another shootout, and hey, Arkansas has a chance in a game like that, like they did against Ole Miss. And so, I mean, we'll see. I do still, right now, if you made me pick, I would say I think Notre Dame's going to win, but I actually think I wouldn't have given Arkansas much of a chance before the year. And now, seeing what Notre Dame's done and what Arkansas's done, I think it's possible.
I'm very much on the fence about that game. I want to see how Arkansas responds this week in Memphis, and I want to see what Notre Dame looks like against Purdue on Saturday.
Yeah.
By the way, real quick, I wanted to mention this. Josh Pate, who does a really good college football podcast, he put out a list today of what he thinks are the best quarterbacks in the SEC. He ranked them. And he's got Talen Green number two behind John Mateer of Oklahoma. Talen was on the Heisman Trophy podcast today. Doesn't mean he's getting any Heisman Trophy votes, but I think what it goes to show is that he's leading the nation, I think, in total offense right now. I think he was the first Arkansas quarterback who's ever thrown for 300 and run for 100 in the same game last week. He's gotten to the point, and there's all these Lamar Jackson comparisons because of the Petrino aspect. he's gotten to the point where I feel like people are at least noticing him. And I was skeptical of him in the preseason. I would say to this point, he has exceeded whatever my expectations were for him. I was very impressed what he did against Ole Miss, whether it be the third down conversions, the final drive of the game. He put him in a chance to win the game. Wasn't his fault the way that it turned out there. I think he did just about as much as you could ask a quarterback to do on the road against a good team in the SEC. This is interesting to me, number two in these quarterback rankings.
Yeah, it's been interesting to watch people kind of start to take a little bit more notice. I listen to a couple of national college football podcasts, and you know when they kind of recap the week's games, and when they were talking about this, one of them was talking about how awesome Talen Green is, just like what a fun player he is to watch. And so it's always interesting to me to hear how people who aren't locked in on Arkansas or even locked in on the SEC look at Arkansas. And they've been people are starting to kind of notice Talen Green and be like, man, that's a fun player to watch. Like, I want to see him play because of all of the things that he's able to do. And yeah, he does lead the country in total offense. John Mateer, who Josh Pate had at number one in the SEC, is right behind him.
I like Joey Aguilar. I watched him the other day, and I was impressed with Gunnar Stockton of Georgia too. Yeah. Like, that guy's a gamer. I didn't know he was a gamer going into it.
I didn't think he was.
But man, the way that he, like that fourth down throw that he made late in the game, that was, that shows you something. It's a good year, I think, for SEC quarterbacks. I mean, the two guys that they were talking about before the season, Nussmeier and Sellers, they're kind of pushed down the list. Yeah, Arch Manning, too. Yeah. Gosh, forgot about him.
Yeah.
But, yeah, a lot of these quarterbacks that you're talking about in the preseason, they haven't had the start to the season. Maybe it balances out some, but I think this is a better year for quarterbacks in the SEC than we've seen in maybe the last year or two.
Yeah, I'll be very excited to see Tennessee when I go to Knoxville in a couple weeks, and very interested to watch him. I think that'll be a fun game to watch between Talen and Joey Aguilar.
Might be another shootout. I think we're in for a lot of those.
A lot of them.
Potentially in for a lot of those this year. Christina, great stuff. Hope that you'll visit us. You can read Christina's stuff there at WholeHogSports.com. We'll be back with another show tomorrow. Hope to see you then. Have a great day, everybody.